Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It is. Good afternoon.
Another week and another hour of truth.
We hope.
I have James Usler on Skype.
Good morning, everybody.
Wow. I have Philip Walthall here in the studio with me as well.
Good morning.
As big man Ricky Usler Jr.
Exactly what are you saying? I know I'm fat. Is that where you're going?
I wasn't going there.
Jabba.
That's what Steve called me the other day. Jabba the Hutt. I went, ooh, jabba, 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 you know?
Oh, me. So.
That'd be kind of cool to know how to speak Jobmanian.
Is that another new word?
Yes, sir.
We've been learning the vocabulary of Phil.
Unpeace.
Unpeace, yep. Unpeace is what, Phil?
War.
Oh, that is one of the virtues of having him around. You learn all these new terms.
If you make enough of Phil, you can have your own dictionary.
That's what we're working for. Sue was talking to him about it yesterday.
Yeah, and I couldn't use the language. I couldn't call it Philip and Knees, you know, because they already got that.
Philippines.
Philippines. I don't think they have that
language in the Philippines. Or not Philippians. What do you call that place?
The Philippines.
The Philippines, that's it.
I thought he was going for the Philippians.
No, the Philippines, you know.
Yeah, well.
Present.
Why didn't you guys like want me to come in here?
I could call my children. I could start a new nation called the Philip Knights.
I have a call coming in.
Of course. Why should today be any different than any other day?
Okay, slide up. Hold on.
I don't know, man. Let's see if we can make any kind of profitable thing out of this at all. Nobody here got to hear any of Steve's stuff except for me, so we can't chat about that. Well, not intelligently.
Well, I really don't intelligently anyways, Paul.
Well,
if anything good that comes out, it's because of the Lord, and that's about it.
I am not going to argue that point at all. Steve was in 1 Peter and chapter 1. And we were in Hebrews, and you took a little smidgen out of Mark. And really, Steve was talking again about, especially once he got down to verse 7 in chapter 1, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That was a kind of a dovetail into some of the stuff we talked about in Hebrews and some of the stuff that we've talked about before out of Romans. Chapter 5.
Hey, Paul, I bet you if you talk into that mic, like in front of it, people hear you better. See, they say here, I can't hear Phil. I can't read. But I bet you if you talk in the mic, it'll work better.
I'm moving the meter real nice. just saying.
All right. I might have not had the mic on earlier because I just seen you flip it on.
Yeah, I turn it on and then off. Phil Paul, I apologize, Paul. Interrupting your train of thought. And I know how hard it is for you to get one.
Yeah, it's off track now. I'm telling you.
All right. I will be quiet now. I do apologize.
I was just comparing the Steve talking about the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. How this was a choice that you submit yourself to the Lord. And it's that refining process is the same process that Paul was talking about in Romans 5. The trying coming through tribulations there, but it's still a trying of your faith. It's the same thing that James is talking about in chapter 1, where he says, count it all joy when you fall. What does he say? Because the trying of your faith worketh patience. And this is a process that, quite frankly, we squirm around quite a bit trying to finagle our ways out of, because it's not always very pleasant to our flesh. Our flesh wants to war against it and run and hide from it.
You know, amen. And, you know, I mean, looking at this, I look at it as the rubber meeting the road, where your faith is at in those situations, and your faith is tried. You know, I mean, what is faith? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the things that aren't seen. So you're looking at a circumstance, you're looking at a circumstance that looks too big for you. And of course, it's too big for you in the flesh. Amen. But where is your faith? Your faith should be in God. And you know, and it is a process that goes through. I think I remember we was talking yesterday at breakfast with Rick and Sue, and you know, I see the Lord's hands move in my life when I put my focus and eyes and I trust in His redemption and what He is able to do and accomplish, and I go about walking that. And you start to see Him, His hand moving in those situations. Hebrews 11:1.
Yeah, so quote it right.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Thank you, Ricky. Thank you. And I was talking with Rick and Sue, and you know what you have is you see the Lord move in those situations, and then all of a sudden there's something that comes up. Again, where you see, and my reaction to that situation or the things that comes up shows me clearly yet things that I have not surrendered over to the Lord, things yet that I don't have faith in them in. And it's one of those things where, you know, I turn around, I repent and count it all joy when I fall into diverse temptations and put my focus and eyes back on Him and what He's able to do, because He says He's going to do it.
Yeah, you know, the idea that we keep running into things continuously, it's the opportunity to yet trust the Lord. Yet trust the Lord. Yet trust the Lord. Yet trust the Lord. I mean, it says in this world we will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You yet trust the Lord. You yet trust the Lord. You yet trust the Lord. And that's just that choice. Every day you get up, you yet trust the Lord. You know, you get the phone call you didn't want to get, you yet trust the Lord. You get the bill in the mail you didn't want to get, you yet trust the Lord.
Get the news that you didn't want to get, yet trust the Lord.
Right. It's about always keeping your eyes focused on the Lord. And it says, you know, the simplicity of God's word, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He's talking about taking care of meeting your needs. Right. And in that same passage it says, He knows what we have need of before we even ask. He goes through that whole thing is about the unbelievable goodness of God. If He cared for the birds, if He cared for the flowers, if he took care of those, how much more precious are we to Him in His eyes? Why would He not? Paul, your favorite scripture, and maybe you can find it, it's that one in Romans where he says, you know, if He held not back His only Son.
Right.
You know, I don't want to misquote it. I'm jumping on Phil's case for butchering scripture. I don't want to do the same thing. I'll ask Paul to look it up.
And I might be butchering scripture again, but what comes in my mind, and what have we seen the Lord do when we put our eyes and our trust in Him and actually step out in faith and what he has, what is it? It's always what? Abundantly we can above, we can ask or think.
You know,
at every turn, it's like, it's something like, I didn't imagine that all this good stuff would come out of this. And right. it seems to always surprise us. Why should it still surprise me, you know?
I remember the story Dad told. The service this morning was a lot of reflections on things Dad had told me. He's been through it all. I mean, well, not at all, but he's been through a lot. And he tells a story about, you know, the Lord telling him to throw out the rope. You remember that story?
Yes, sir, I sure do.
So, you know, he's standing at the beach. God says, all right, throw the rope. He goes and walks to the end of the rope. He's at his ankles. Then you throw the rope, he's at his knees. Throw the rope, he's at his waist. And I might get the story slightly goofed up, but at some point he says, throw the rope, and he's on his tippy toes, barely able to keep his nose above water. And God says, throw the rope. And he says, but if I do, I'll drown. He says, throw the rope, walk to the end of it. If I do, I'll drown. He says, throw the rope. And he took a step, and he was on top of the water. And the lesson there that he wasn't walking in faith until the last time. Right. Because up until all of that point, he was able to do it himself. When you talked about the rest today at the end of the service, ceasing from our own works, you know, we look at circumstances and situations all the time, and we judge them by our ability to handle them. I am horribly guilty of that.
Yeah.
I look at that circumstance, oh, yeah, sure, I can see how I can make that. You know, I mean, that's where my mind goes by default. You know, gosh, he's able to do exceedingly abundant and abundantly beyond what we could ask and think. And amen?
Amen. And, you know, it's funny when that circumstance is, you know, I look at it, something, well, I can see how I can do that. And I understand that completely how that goes. And then, but there's more circumstance that's piled on top of that circumstance. And all of a sudden I go, there's nothing I can do about that. Then comes the faith in him. Oh, Lord, I can't do this. You know, yeah, I know, but I can.
I think one of the things that the Lord's really been working on me on, I mean, you know, the hour of truth, we're going to air it out a little bit here, is that break only in case of emergency Christianity. Because, you know, I preached about that years ago, I mean, before I even left, and the Lord is showing me continuously how that's still where I'm at. And that's, you know, that's humbling. You know, when you're talking about circumstances piling on, and then, oh, I can see how there's more circumstance, and then I can see, oh, it's more circumstance, and then all of a sudden, oh, maybe I need Jesus for this. Imagine if we started our day with, I can't handle it, Lord, I need you.
Amen. Amen.
And I think the Lord allows those things to just pile up and pile up to show us, hey, McFly, you know, yeah. Yeah. That's sort of McFly, you know, hey, this way, look over here. And I know that's what it's been for me. You know, it get in way over my head. And then, you know, when I find myself looking up, you know, count it all joy when you fall, and I'm looking up and say, yeah, I sure need some help. Imagine, you know, Steve, we were talking to him the other night. He said how he starts his day on his knees. And he puts himself in that reflection chair every day of, Lord, I know I'm a failure. I know I am not where you need me to be. Forgive me. And he seeks to always put the Lord, to move the Lord forward and do better. And in the Lord. And that is a testimony. That is, you know, the Bible tells us to mark those that have faith and walk after their faith. Well, he's a guy that we should mark and walk after. Dad's a guy who we should mark and walk after. Because they've proven it time and time and time and time. Again, and the Lord's hand is most definitely on them and has ministered through their lives to us. And they're an example of how to do it right.
Amen. And that's, I mean, what Steve was talking about is, you know, we as we a lot of times wait till we get to the end of ourselves. You know what I'm saying? And what Steve was talking about there is recognizing you're at the end of yourself as soon as you wake up first thing in the morning. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Just recognizing it right off of it. Lord, I can't do, you know, without you, I can do nothing. Without you, I can do nothing. And I know that, you know, what can I say? It would be evident if we truly did that. You know what I'm saying? It'd be evident if you truly did that. It's evident when you do truly do that. It just is.
I work with a lot of, well, less now than I used to, but I still work with companies that have networks and computers. And the general way people manage those is they fix on failure. So they go down, they work, all of a sudden something breaks, and then they fix it. And it's always much more expensive to fix a failure than it is to just do a little preventative maintenance. Because when you fix a failure, there's loss involved. There's data loss. There's time loss. There's money loss. There's downtime. There's just all kinds of things that happen. But if you stay on top of it, then hopefully you can see, you have an early warning system. There's a system we use with one of our clients. And because of because we didn't do our job, okay, that early warning system wasn't configured properly, and it didn't warn us of a problem. And thank God, the Lord intervened and protected us and protected our client so that there was no loss in the sense of data. But it could have been catastrophic. You know? And all the tools were there, but we didn't utilize them well. And it's the same, you know, we're in the same sort of thing with the Lord. He's given us everything we need. He's given us His Word. He's given us discipleship. He's given us, gosh, Bible studies and archives of, you know, historical Bible studies there's a volume of knowledge about Him that's right there at our fingertips. And He's given us even His Holy Spirit, right? I mean, we have all that stuff, and then we still yet find ourselves in that fix on failure mode. And man, we gotta get past that. We have to get past that fix on failure mentality and get into that place where we are in that constant communication with the Father and follow after Jesus' example that way.
Amen. And now, you know, what's going through my mind is, you look at the children of Israel and when they were wandering around in the desert, it was fix on failure mode all the time. I mean, we're in no different situation. Are we gonna actually step out? And it was a lot clearer a little bit ago, but not so much now. It was on fixed field. But are we going to step out? Are we going to learn those things that the Lord has given someone? Because what we essentially should come out of that, like you said, the Lord intervened for you on your behalf on those things. But are we going to learn from those past mistakes and actually do something different from them? Because the proof of learning those things where the Lord intervenes is to change them. And the true repentance is going to be changing it than doing it differently next time. But it's no different when we stay in that mode of fix on failure. We're no different than the children of Israel and operating like them out there wandering around in the desert.
Robin says, you know, if we want to do a thing right, whether we feel we can handle it or not, we need to look unto Him in all things, giving acknowledgement that He and only He can do a thing right. In John 15, he says, without me, you can do nothing.
That's a really good point, Paul.
And, of course, later, Paul says he can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens him. This thing that Robin put in there kind of presumes that we give a crap whether we do a thing right or not.
Sometimes we just want to get it done and over
with. Sometimes you're just punching the clock, man.
Sometimes you're carrying Jason's mentality. If you want to do a thing, do it quickly. And we don't need to follow that mentality.
You're talking about Duck Dynasty. Yeah, we got to get the reference.
Yeah. When you don't know what you're doing, it's best to do it quickly.
Instead, we need to be going, Lord, I can't do it. And that's the point Robin's bringing up. Even when we don't, when we do think we know.
How many times have you heard, I got this?
Exactly.
That's like famous last words.
Yeah. I got this. Yeah, you're exactly right. We really need to be humbled ourselves in every situation. You know, I was listening to Steve minister to somebody the other night, and one of the things is that breaking case of an old emergency is he goes, look, I lift up. One of the things is I put myself in the chair of accountability to the Lord all the time. I'm always lifting up my relationship with my wife. I'm always lifting up my relationship to my kids. I'm always lifting up my relationship with my clients. I'm always lifting up my relationship to ministering to somebody else. And we really need to get that down and ingrained in us. Because if we're doing it outside with our own works, it's really unprofitable. We really do need to come to that place where we cease from our own works right from the beginning.
You know that epiphany of that scripture in John that you just read, without Him we can do nothing?
Yeah.
You know, forgive me for being in the ministry for 20 plus years, but you know, the big light bulb just went off for me, you know. because people admonish me, you know, I'm subject to my dad and to Steve and others, and I hear a word of the Lord from them, and I'm going like, geez, I accept it. I have no idea how that applies. But Lord, you know, I don't want to walk in rebellion to that word. And you know, that bing, I say I got this way too much. You know, whether I say it verbally or whether I act, you know, your feet will tell exactly what you believe. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I mean, what you do demonstrates what you believe, period. And if you're trusting in faith and believing God, that's going to be evident. And if you're not, that's going to be evident. And if you're living that fix on failure or break only in case of emergency, that's going to be evident. And when Paul, you brought up that scripture, without him we can do nothing. I mean, nothing's everything. I mean, it's the opposite of everything. It's nothing, but means that,
yeah,
it's him. It's it. And what Robin says is really that, you know, that in a nutshell.
One of the things that I was thinking about, you know, it was reading that verse, Peter chapter 1, verse, I think it's 7. We're talking about the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold. Is that Hebrews 11, 6 says what? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I want that faith to be getting refined and purified, because without it, I can't please God.
Amen. And
I don't even, you know, it was the concept that what I do should be pleasing, I should be about the business of pleasing the Lord, never occurred to me until a few months ago when we first started talking about that. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, boy, that's a radical concept, because I don't know too many people that live there.
You're talking about living, you're talking about living in the... Sorry, the mic was off.
I'll let
Phil hold the mic. Of course, I handed it to him with it off, so I'll rat myself out instead of making him look bad.
I'll take the hit, brother. You took it for me many times.
Sorry. You're talking about people that living in the space of wanting to please God. Yeah, that's referring to.
Okay. Very few people ever get, you know, past their nose as far as how they do affects other people. Or as for instance, is my boss pleased with what I'm doing? Is that concept? I never contemplated that. I was just, you know, doing what I knew to do and hoping he saw that I was trying. But the concept of did anything in the process and how I did it, is anything about it pleasing? I don't know, because I never contemplated that. You know, so as long as the check's clear.
You know, I was talking this morning. You're talking about, you know, was my boss pleased with me? I'm looking at when I was talking to Steve. I mean, it was just one of those things, that epiphany of, I mean, look what the Lord has established and what He brought me to. The accountability to my response, not only to my bosses, but to clients, I call customers. And then also the people that work for Gerald's that I'm in charge to manage over, the accountability of what I'm bringing and what I'm doing for them and operating in, the accountability to the Lord in that was huge. Am I pleasing to the Lord in all those things that I'm doing? And am I seeking that which my bosses want, what the customer needs are, what the guys on the floor need, you know, and all these things? It kind of takes me back to where Steve was talking about how he'd buy a gift for his brother, but the gift that he bought his brother was really what he wanted. And, you know, his brother bought him a gift, and what it was something that his brother really wanted, and they should have just bought themselves gifts instead, you know. But that seeking to please the Lord in all things, you know, it's kind of what you kind of mentioned that day. I mean, whatever you do, do heartily. Whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord. And finding that, which, I mean, when you're ministering, I mean, what Steve's talking about, lifting those relationships up, is finding out what that person's needs are from the Lord. Because, you know, He's the one that has what those needs are for that person, and seeking to get those needs across to that person. You know?
Amen.
So... I was sitting there thinking to myself,
where's James?
I've heard.
Don't you just do it a shiny thing to poor Paul. Your poor guy gets a, he only gets a thought like once every so many minutes, and you just take it away from him when you do that, man.
That's just wrong. That would be the opposite of seeking with us.
That's not loving your brother.
Just terrible.
James, where are you on all this stuff? You're awful quiet over there.
I tried a couple times to break in.
Obviously you didn't. You didn't try hard enough.
I guess not. But you know, Steve was talking about, you know, lifting everything up to the Lord. Or you guys were talking about Steve talking about that. And, you know, when Steve does that, he acknowledges that his own ability isn't, or in his own ability, he's not possible. It's not possible to really serve the Lord and have those person's best interests at hand, you know, and it's lifting it up to the Lord that he's through faith going to receive discernment on the situations and how, you know, what's most profitable for those people. I hope that makes sense.
It does make sense. That makes sense.
I mean, because his own ability is, you know what I mean, you can do nothing without God. That's right.
Right, and that's that he comes to that humble place and recognizing in his own ability and in his own works and his own things that would be nothing of any profit to that person.
There's no profit to it.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of like without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then on the other hand of that, the Lord will answer those prayers because that's according to His Word. You know, that's not asking amiss. That's asking so that you can serve Him better and what He has for the people. Lord's going to honor that because it's not about Him. It's about that person and what they need. And it's about the Lord. He will answer that prayer. We need to try it.
And the cool thing with faith is, you know, we have faith in the Lord because we need the Lord to do things that we are unfathomable to our carnal man. You know, in the sense, like, Phil, you were talking this morning about your walk at Gerald's Tires, and you'd been there since you were 18, and there's guys that have been there and been very reliable every day. And Rick's telling you that you should become a manager there. Think about it. Your own understanding. I mean, my gosh, you know what I mean? I've been in that same situation. Like, are you crazy? I mean, I'm the worst employee they have. But through the Lord, through faith, it is quite possible, you know, as we can see. And it's, you know, it's the Lord's ability to move and do those things, not our own. If we look under our own understanding, I mean, it doesn't add up.
And that was the other scripture that I was, you know, that came through my mind. Lead not on thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord and lead not on thine own understanding. Because that's not the Lord's way at all. And it's funny that you say that. And I just want to bring this up because the first opportunity for management that came in, it really came in about 6 months after I started Gerald's Tires and Brakes. And they were ready to pop me into management. You know what I said? No.
I
want to
change tires.
They said, yeah, I want to pop you in the management. I went over there for like a week and I was like, hey, wait. I did not agree to this and you're popping me in this position anyways. And they're like, okay, Phil, just try it out for a week. But I've already made up my mind. No. And, you know, here's Rick kind of giving me, this is when Rick was here. Rick was like, you know, all right, yeah, and you're concerned about running a tire shop. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I think I was talking about faith or something. And I was like, but then it was, you know, look, praise the Lord. I mean, the Lord extended grace and gave me more opportunity to practice faith than anybody. But share how much of a dingbat I am.
Well, you know, I could see, we talked about this a little bit in the service, is that when you're in discipleship and you truly submit yourself to your discipler, they've probably been through it.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
And if they've been through it, they're going to see what you're going through and know what's on the other side of it. So if you submit yourself to that and say, look, I can tell Phil, I said, look, what's happening here is the Lord's preparing you for His work. Rather have you work on that which is temporal. Temporary. There we go. I'm going to borrow some Phil words. Yeah. That. Rather work on that which is temporary than that which is the, you know, somebody's soul. You know, so if you can learn those principles through your work at General's Tires and Brakes, then you take that which the Lord teaches you through those experiences, and then you can apply it to the ministry. You know, the Lord is just using, you're getting paid to learn. I mean, most people go and pay money to learn. You're getting paid to learn when you can see it through the perspective that God's hands are on where you're at, and that there's a purpose to it, a point to it, and He's working through it. And He doesn't waste anything. You know, it says His word won't return void. He redeems the time. There's all these scriptures that talk about God is not very, He's not wasteful. There's a point to it. There's a purpose to it. There's an order to it. And we can trust, we can sort of rest in that sufficiency of His ability to handle it. And there's if He's asked you to do it, there's a point to it. It's not just willy-nilly. You go back to that 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So if we are diligently seeking the Lord, and we believe that He is, and we believe that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, then we can take those steps in faith with a confidence in His provision and His ability to take care of it. Now, He starts us off with little things. He starts us off with little tasks, little chores. He's not going to bury you right up front. He's going to start you with a little thing. Trust me in this. Trust me in this. And as that builds and that grows and that forms a more solid faith, a more firm faith. On Thursday, we talked a little bit about Matthew 7. He that heareth these words and doeth them is like a man that builds his house upon a rock. Because the storm's coming. You know, the trial's going to come. It's going to come on everyone. We're all going to go through it. And you're going to find out, is your faith on Jesus? Is it on a rock? Is it firm? Has it been rooted and grounded and built up on that which is unmovable, the Word of God, the character and nature of God? Or, when that storm comes, are you going to find that all that you've built is on sand? It's shifty, it's movie, there's no firmness to it. And so many of us, when we get hit with that storm, we realize all the places that aren't on the rock. And that's that. Then you go back to the count of joy when you fall, because now we know. You know, rather learn now.
Amen, brother.
You know, rather learn now. Man, I don't like getting called on the carpet for having walked in unbelief.
Me neither.
So, but I'd much rather get called on the carpet now, choose to humble myself to the word of the Lord through wherever it comes. I was talking to Lisa the other day, and I said, you know, if we are where we are, or if we are where we need to be in the Lord, or where we should be in the Lord, and we recognize that the Spirit of God is in all believers,
amen,
true believers, His Spirit's there, we should be able to receive correction from anyone that's a believer, because it's the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, if I receive that correction, and the Lord says, Rick, you know, I'm trying to get through to you, you know, rather receive that now and humble yourself and humble myself and say, yes, Lord, amen. I know that You are a good God. You are a loving God. You do nothing in you're not a mean, nasty guy with a magnifying glass cooking ants on the pavement. That's not who You are. You know, Your nature is not my nature. Your ways are higher than mine. We can go down and down and down. And I humble myself and I say, yes, Lord, I agree with You. Rather that happen now then God forbid it happen in heaven.
Amen. And that's the other thing. I mean, when these circumstances that might come up that are uncomfortable and all these things, and yet you see in the circumstances where the lack of trust in the Lord is, and the lack of faith that you have in Him, and the lack of love that you have, and all these things, rather that be come about and abroad and dealt with now than later. Absolutely. Amen.
You know, can you pull up over there on your screen, Paul, John 3, and just start somewhere near 17 or so.
Yeah, I wanted to share something, because as you're saying, if the Spirit of the Lord is in and is in all believers, and that correction or that whatever it is that you need, if you are humble, Rick, then you would hear those things. I mean, because you take a look at Steve, and I remember the testimony of Steve testifying of when he came to Vermont. I mean, he was underneath everybody, even the dog. I mean, David said, even the dog has more discernment than you do. And, you know, when he did and he believed and he humbled himself, and when he saw, when he would go to the service and church, you know, a kid would turn around and say something, and he'd go, oh, wow, thank you, Lord. Or he would be going out, and somebody else would say something, oh, thank you, Lord. Or the dog would bark at this one person, and he realized, okay, that guy's got something going on with him. You know, I mean, he humbled himself and he learned from the Spirit of the Lord wherever it came from.
This is what came to my mind when you're sharing those things.
No, I mean, you know, what the scripture that just came to me in this is we're talking about sort of, I guess, you know, sort of putting ourselves in that seat of accountability. So I look over here in John chapter 3, and people quote John 3:16, but boy, there's some really good stuff before that and after it. In verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. If you are willing to admit your deeds are evil, then the light's not an offense to you, because you already acknowledge it.
Amen.
If you want to somehow cover up the fact that your deeds are evil, if you want to, we got an error on the encoder. We're coming back now. If you want to try and cover up the fact that your deeds are evil, then that light's going to be a real offense to you.
Amen, yeah.
But if you wake up in the morning realizing that, look, I know my deeds are evil. I know that without him I can do nothing. If we come to that realization right at the beginning, we open our eyes and we start in that place, then we finish out the rest of this verse. So here we are, verse 19 again, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. That's what I was just saying.
Yeah. You know, men prefer darkness rather than light is because they rather be justified in what they're doing than come to the recognition that they're wrong,
which is pride.
Right, and pride's what
the other thing is. The position is, as long as you don't know about it, it's not wrong.
Well, if only that was the case. Ignorance is, you know, I try to, there's a shiny thing. I've tried to use that thinking with maybe a state trooper once or twice. I didn't know it was 65 miles. Did the speed limit change? I thought it was. It doesn't work.
There's also a scripture, and I know I'm going to butcher it, but there's some of them, oh, my people perish because of what? The lack of knowledge.
That's Hosea 4.
Is it?
Yeah, it's very good. You should maybe look it up and quote it accurately.
Okay.
You know, if you go, I'm going to harass Phil a bit here, but if you go into battle and you got your gun and the barrel's pointed backwards and you pull the trigger, it's not working out well for you, and you're not going to do anything to the enemy. So if you're going to pull your sword out, you want to make sure it's sharp and long enough to reach the enemy. You understand?
Yes, and, you know, me being a prime example of what I'm about to say actually is testifying against me as we speak, and that is because it's our responsibility to know it. It is not. It's our responsibility to know it. It's He's given everything. We need to know it, you know?
When Jesus was confronting, Lucifer was tempting Jesus in the desert. And Lucifer said, hey, you know, if you be the Son of God, why don't you, you know, hey, make this bread. You know, he said, well, you know, I think the Bible says, you know, I'll probably misquote this, but is that how it went?
No, sir.
All right. And look, I'm just as guilty. You know, this is the seat of accountability. You know, it tells us in 2 Peter that if we're going to speak the word, let it be the oracles of God. Are you saying that you came here with even out your Bible?
Yes.
I'll say that again.
Yes.
So not only are you going to misquote it, you just left your gun at home. I know what you're going to do. You're going to hold your finger out and go bang, and that'll work. Bang. You're going to be like the what was that old guy? Was a Clint Eastwood movie, and the orangutan was in. He'd go bang, and the orangutan would fall down dead. That's what I could just see. The devil's there, and Phil goes bang, and the devil goes. Is that what you're expecting to happen, Phil?
No, at this time right now, I'm just want to get Hosea 4 pulled up to
please,
quote it correctly.
Get 1 o'clock. Pass.
Here,
I mean, come on.
Here, let me get you figured out. Let me get you sorted out here, my brother. See, you know, you were kind of playing funny the other day with your cell phone. I have a little flip phone. I don't need a big fancy phone. And now you're wishing you had a big fancy phone, aren't you? Because mine's got the Bible right there, doesn't it? So, is that sort of what you were looking for?
Let's see here. I don't think so. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. But I said, no. There it is. Hosea 4:6. That's exactly. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because they hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be not priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and I will also forget thy children.
So,
I need to do some more studying, Rick.
It says study to show thyself approved. This is not, I mean, we're in the same boat, and I have enjoyed harassing you on it.
But it's the truth. It's the truth.
Let me finish this over here in John, because this is sort of an example of that. As we go here, we were in 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Paul's changing the screen, and I can't read it when he's scrolling. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And that is putting yourself in that chair of accountability before the Lord. You're bringing yourself before the Lord. You already recognize your deeds are evil. That's not a surprise to you. And you go, all right, Lord, I want to glorify you today. I want to be a good witness for you today. I want to show people your truth today. I want to show the light of your word today. You know, I know that in myself there dwelleth no good thing. That is in my flesh. That's what Paul says. In my flesh, I know there's dwelleth no good thing. But we are not here. We live by faith in Christ, and in Him we can do all things. And that's really the transition. So, you know, we're here, we've got all this time. That's awesome. We're like 16 minutes.
I know. That's the praise of the Lord.
Yeah. More time to pick on Phil. You know, you can listen to this and you can get really discouraged because how far we fall short. Look, we all fall short. But it's not a message of discouragement. It's a message of encouragement, because his hand is outstretched. You know, he's there. He's with his hand out. He wants to pull you out of that place. It says when you count all joy, when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that trying your faith, and he goes on about that. And he wants to redeem you out of that. And then it's another, I don't know how else to put it, it's another notch on your belt, showing where God saved you and you can trust him.
Amen. And that's part of that. And Peter, you know, kind of going back to what you opened up with there, Paul, is the trying your faith is more, Could you? Can we pull it? Could you pull it up?
What do you want, Phil?
In Peter, yeah, where the trying of your faith is more precious than gold and silver.
It's 1 Peter 7.
1 Peter
chapter 1, verse 7.
Hold on, here, let me get this for Phil on my fancy phone.
Thank you, Rick.
1 Peter 1, 7.
And going back, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Because that faith is the most precious. That faith in Him is the only thing that matters. And that sustains, and that's forever. That doesn't go away. Anything outside that is going to perish. We need to have that. James, you with us, buddy?
Yes, I am. Would you like me to speak?
I would.
Well, you know, when you were talking about, you know, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You can count it all joy when you humble yourself and acknowledge that you did fall into diverse temptations. And that's when the Lord can move and deliver you out of it. When you still stand in pride after it or justify yourself, the Lord can't deliver you out of it. It's only when you acknowledge that you've fallen. And, you know, it's count it all joy. Get up and move forward. Today's a new day. I think, Rick, you said that in the service. Tomorrow's over. There's nothing you can do about
it. Yesterday's over. Yeah, no, tomorrow is still coming. Yesterday is over. Yeah, we haven't figured out the temporal distortion time advancement thing yet.
Yeah, give no thought for tomorrow.
Gail put something in the chat. It's like, how about this? And my first thing that comes to my mind when I see that is, that sounds real good if you say it real fast. But if that were the case, Phil's trusting the Lord to give him the words. If the Lord's given him the words, then it's going to be right.
That's right. It would have been. I wouldn't have misquoted it.
There you go. So, you know, that's a pretty good indication that it ain't the Lord doing the work there.
It's presumption. And presumption. We operate. I just want to make that distinction because we operate in presumption often. You know, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. If it wasn't important to study to show thyself approved, and it says approved unto God, all right? We're not trying to be approved unto men. But study to show thyself approved. And I mentioned this in the service today, that we, or maybe it was Thursday, I don't remember, but we are an extremely privileged generation to have God's Word for free, essentially. I mean, that's a very privileged generation. It's amazing the things that we can remember. I mean, I was picking on Phil the other day. You know, he's got a car can wait. I call him about my Honda. Honda, Phil, I need some tires for my Honda. Oh, those are 17-inch, 175, 75R.
225, 65,
17s. See what I mean? You know, and I could tell you about air guns. You know, unbelievable. I mean, it's just boom, it's right there. But when it comes to the Word of God, I falter.
I just misquoted.
Yeah, and the only reason that is the way it is because we haven't given our walk with the Lord the attention it deserves.
Amen. And you're absolutely right. It's another reflection to see where I'm at. But my feet are going to show it. What I do is going to show it. And this is another showing of that. A light on my heart. And, you know, James, you said something that struck me when you said, you know, if we stand at count on joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that shining your faith, putting your eyes back, that when you not making justification for yourself, not only those things, then when you're doing that, you're really not recognizing that you need Jesus, and you don't really count yourself that you fell in diverse temptations. You count yourself as being put in a situation that wasn't your fault. You're not counting that you are the one that is at fault there. You're back to John, where you prefer darkness. Yes, that's where you're back. there's forgiveness there. Yeah. But you got to recognize you need it.
Yeah. Amen.
And a lot of times, when we're justifying ourselves, we're not recognizing that we need it. We think we're better than that and justified in it.
We assume that God's like us, too. And, of course, that's not true.
There's an old phrase, and if you're a musician, you'll get it. And that is, it's close enough for jazz. Yes, you know.
I say close enough for government work a lot.
Yeah, close enough for government. The phrase in Ralph's garage used to be, nail it, we're not building airplanes here. You know, that's not how our walk with the Lord should be.
Amen.
The fact that when you present yourself to the Lord, you present yourself to the Lord for this really correction, sitting in the chair of trial, we as parents are lazy and I'll just say, look, go away, you bother me. But the Father, our Father in heaven, He's not like that. And that's part of what we're supposed to be learning about him is how his character is. And this takes me back, you know, to the thing you were referencing that I should look up.
Over in Romans.
He has spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Knowing what you need before you ask him. Seeing to it that you get the stuff right. Because he is good and it matters to him that you get it right. That's what he wants. He wants you to succeed in the walk with the Lord. Not like we are as parents who just don't want to be bothered right now. Perhaps this isn't convenient for me. We didn't want to have this discussion until I'm ready. And that's not how the Lord is. When you come to him, he's there. He's there.
Amen.
Amen. There's a couple of things that
Paul, that's that agape James, love.
I thought I heard James wanted to say something. Go ahead, James.
Well, you know what you were just speaking of with the Lord? That's that agape love where he's preferring us. And, you know, when we don't want to be bothered with our children or whatever the situation is, we're not walking in that. We're preferring ourselves. That was all, Rick. Thank you.
Amen.
I feel I have need mentioning it. Robin sent me a PM, and the window does not come to the front, and it got exposed when we started moving something around here, and it's been so long ago I don't know how to respond exactly to it, but you know, the kind of crux of what she was saying is the times that we keep revisiting our initial testimony of salvation, that it is evidence that we're not walking in faith. You know, we haven't really gotten grounded and rooted in the faith that evidences the difference between the times time of our life that we lived everything in unbelief versus now. The confession has changed, but the profession is still the same. It's still unbelief.
Because if you're walking in faith, and you can see, it would be testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony of what the Lord has done and accomplished. And that's right. And then and at that time, with all those testimonies in your bag, that just gives you more ammo in your pocket to witness to anybody out there in similar situations, whichever may apply.
We were contrasting a good bit today, over Thursday and today, about the children of Israel that left Egypt and died in the wilderness and ourselves. And they had every conceivable. I mean, pillar of fire by night, pillar of cloud by day, rock that fed the entire multitude. I mean, they had every example of the Lord being with them and that they need not fear. I mean, not to mention that God just wiped out Pharaoh's army just, you know, a few days ago.
And not just that nation. Remember? I mean, he delivered other nations into their hand and out in the wilderness.
Well, that was afterwards. But, yeah, I mean, that first group that got to the
they never got scared. Past the point where they expected God to serve them and not that there was a requirement on them to serve God.
Amen. Which kind of brought in, and I remember talking in the service, and when I get down, you ever get down off service, preaching, and you go, man, dang, that just came to my mind. I wish I would have said that while I was up there.
Yeah.
And one of those things was when I was talking about taking that which the Lord has given you and use it to serve Him. You know, it's a funny thing that it's not a funny thing, but it's that which the Lord has given you that you use to please Him. It says, without faith is it impossible to believe God. One is, He gives you that faith. You know, when we go to the scripture where it says, without me, you can do nothing. So it's all Him. You're just using that which He has given you to serve Him with. Anything other than that is garbage. You know? And it says, it's a beautiful thing. What can you say? He's provided it all for you.
Amen. James, you got anything you want to add? We're running short on time. We'll give you a chance.
No, Rick, I don't.
Well, it looks like we've come to a logical close, then, of this week's Hour of Truth. So, having said that, let's all say goodbye. And I'll run the music.
Goodbye, everybody. And thanks, Paul, for letting me come hang out with you guys.
Oh, our pleasure.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on the Hour of Truth.